Oh, great to have your company, Adelaide. The next 2 hours are solved, done and dusted as the Juice, the Black Rhino and I, with a little bit of help from our friend Sean Craig Murphy, drive you home. Boy, have we got a show for you. Special K, Usman Khawaja, just out of 5 o'clock to talk all things Ashes, his recall. And I'm going to try and delve inside the psyche of him and find out whether something happened as a child that has forced him not to be able to play spin bowling, good according Luke. To the Australian selectors.
Yeah, good Luke.
We've also got a very inspiring young man after 5:30. I won't tell you his name. I won't tell you his story, but very inspiring stuff by a young man who lost his leg.
Great story, Luke.
He's turned himself around.
Yeah.
And he's on the cusp of representing his country, so I cannot wait to show you that one. Trez joins us after a while, which is always good.
Been a while.
I mean, absence makes the heart grow fonder, they often
say.
We've worked that theory to a treat so much so. Management called us, says you better get him on.
Get him on.
Because we're paying him.
And he's out of contract at the end of the year too.
Oh, speaking of that, mid-season trades. That's on the agenda as well. Thank you, Gil. Tell you what, the great man, you just heard him. There he is. Used Uber before Uber was even around. He had Uber bring him the footy on a footy field, this man. The one and the only, the Juice, Andrew Jarman.
G'day, Louis. G'day, Adelaide. Hello, Mount Gambier. Mm. Let's not forget our cousins down there at Mount Gambier. Great to be here on a Tuesday, Lou.
Yep.
Conditions, well, they're uncomfortable for everyone at the minute.
Warm in the middle.
Just a tad. Yep. Just a tad. But I tell you what, Lou, we're ready. We're ready for a rip-snorting 2 hours. Certainly there's plenty to discuss. And I just want you to just listen to this message.
Can I just say one thing? Last chance Duck Club as well.
Oh, yes. Yes.
8299-8091. Back to you.
Just take it easy on my integrity. My family. All right. And my presence here in South Australia. Yeah. Because you've been tucked away in some sort of little office with our little mate Ninj.
Yeah, I have. Yes.
Doing something about my honesty session yesterday to the family regarding.
Yep.
The gun for hire.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's just be very clear. Steve Knowles is on dial.
Yeah.
Duncan Bashy and don't sit up for less.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. That's all I'll say. I'm ready to go now.
Consider warned and consider don't give a rat's, because you should have started the show today with this. Murph, we should have put all the curtains down. We should have put him into a tight little box, and you should have started the show today with "Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned." That should have been your opening line.
Come on.
I'm going to bring
Let's
in...
Let's go. Yeah, family waiting.
We're going to deal with Jars' lack of honesty and purge. Not once.
I feel good.
But twice.
I feel good.
All right. So are we ready?
I'm ready to go, Lolo.
All right. We need to kick it off with some serious footy action. Yeah. Mid-season trades. Oh. Good idea? Bad idea? They're on the table, according to Gil McLaughlin. We'll talk about it next.
Thanks to Southern Volkswagen, Ian Ranella. You got the rush hour, Charles and Louis, at 104.7 Triple M.
And off the back of the big guy arriving for the pageant on the weekend, our very own Fat Santa is back in town. We're giving away a Weber Jumbo Joe barbecue just after 5:30 today. Gave away one yesterday. And it's all thanks to Heatworks, heatworks.com.au. Thanks to Oggy down there on McGill Road, just at... just off the back of Norwood, really, is what you call it, Jars, isn't it? So, barbecue Jumbo Joe for Weber, giving away after 5:30. Before I get into the news of the day, what Gil has got to, how about the Bombers making a $5.1 million profit for 2017?
Scary stuff.
Total rev, 65.2.
Stop it.
That's up 11.7 mil from the previous year. The year before, it was a $9.8 million loss, 15 mil turnaround by the Bombers.
Jeez.
And none surprisingly, or maybe a tad surprisingly, a $3.9 million donation in there from the Australian Sports Foundation.
Well, their membership will go 70 plus this year.
Well, that was 67,768.
There they go. They're coming.
They got a million through the turnstiles of the games. They have just bounced back and gone absolutely berserk. Righto, the big boss. Put on the agenda,
Jillian.
Mid-season trades. It happens a lot elsewhere in elite sport. Yeah. Here is Gil explaining the good and the bad.
It's one of the only times, too, where you have the weaker clubs, i.e. the club lower down the ladder, having more leverage in the trade. You know, you might get the wrong couple of injuries and you've got everything right and you're travelling well and you need a player. You know, the ability to trade mid-season to pick up if you're down key defenders or rucks
or something.
Well, I think the best example was 2 years ago, whatever it was, Port were out of ruckman. I think it was the year that Paddy Ryder unexpectedly was rubbed out for a year, and then Lobie did his knee or something.
Yep.
And they ended up having...
Trengove rucking.
So St Kilda, as an example, had four or five ruckmen weren't competing for the eight, needed, well, I'm sure they had something that Port Adelaide had. So that would have been an opportunity, and St Kilda would have had the leverage. And you don't have to do the trade if you don't want to. So the reason some people don't like it is because they think, you know, there's an emotive side to the trade, but that's no different.
What's
actually
the end?
To the end of the year.
Yeah. Got McLaughlin there and talking about mid-season trades.
I mean, bring it in.
You got to have it.
Bring it in, Lou.
One or two injuries, key injuries, can derail a season.
Yeah.
And more importantly, too, for the guys who are in line and not looking like getting a crack, you only get a short period to really state your case as a league footballer, Jar.
Yep.
So you can put your hand up and say, I want to get elsewhere because I can get an opportunity to strut my stuff.
So, Lou, do we do it when we have the mid-year bye?
Oh, yeah.
Lock it away. It's just for a week, not two.
Yeah,
just
no, short, sharp and shiny. They do all that work behind the scenes.
Absolutely.
Anyhow, Jar. We know that.
All they do is just press the button.
It is
deal's done.
Get the calls, get on the same page. What do you got that we want?
So it's a 10-week contract. So say I end up, I'm playing for the Crows, can't get a game.
Yep.
But Brisbane are two games out of the top eight. Yep. Lost their midfielder, right? We go to the mid-season trade.
Yep.
Well, we want Jars.
We pick up Jars.
Do I get is that a 10-week contract? Well, they haven't sorted all that out yet.
That's the fine print. Are we loaning them, like we do in Premier League soccer and world football, or are we actually
online
trading them?
Yeah.
So they go over.
Yeah, I like that.
Because the sticking point will be, hang on, he comes with a big contract.
Yeah.
In theory.
So who's going to
pay that? Yeah, man, how does that work with the salary cap? Whereas I love the idea of the loan is that you go there, you play the season out, then you revert back, and then that club, if we sent you to Brisbane, then they would get first crack at you in the off-season to get you to go there if they want to keep you.
Yep, yep,
you know what I mean?
Yep, I like that.
Or Adelaide can say, no, we want him back because he's proved his point. Or we didn't know he had that
and
in him.
Scotty Thompson's just retired.
Yep.
We've got a spot available.
We need a gun inside mid with great hands.
I like that on loan. We've got to bring it in, Lee.
Just get with the times. The point being, the back of free agency and what it has done from a player's power point of view, until we realise we are all pawns in a greater game, and that's what it is the football club. And the club needs the ability to go, well, actually, you work for us. You're ours. If we want to send you there, well, they should be able to do that. If players want to be able to walk in and say, I want out, even when under contracts, surely a club can go, well, actually, I'm going to move you over there because they've got something we want, and you're a little bit surplus at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, didn't mean nothing personal by it, but that's just how it rolls.
I reckon 2019 they'll bring it in.
Oh, it sounds like he's pretty bullish about it, so I don't think it should be far away.
Good call, Caro.
Hey, tell you what's up next. Don't go anywhere. We've got a song coming up, but then, via way of a round of music type break, I will address.
You want to be careful.
The no walk.
I warned you start of the show.
I know you did. And thank you very much for a heads up.
Is on standby.
Absolutely, he's on standby for me too, he said. He said, I've got him ready in my back pocket. We will address Jars' refusal to walk at Morford Vale.
It's the Rush Hour, Jars and Louis, Triple M.
All right.
Okay, what have you got, Tig?
Well, the foundations of the Rush Hour were rocked yesterday when on the Duck Club hotline, a little phone call came through from one of the most celebrated cricketers that we know.
Yep.
Our very own Andrew Deuce Newton Jarman. For those who don't know, Jars was a gun for hire on the weekend, played for Morford Vale Cricket Club.
Yeah.
And boy, what a setup. What a club.
Yeah, well
great
played.
To be a part of that establishment. Was sent out to bat at number five.
Yeah.
Morford Vale collapse had set in. Mm. Tickled one early down leg side, second ball actually. Mm. Big appeal. Mm. Clean hands by keeper. Umpire said not out.
Correct.
Lo and behold, a few balls later, the windmill came out, head went up, stumps went down, and he was out for one. But then on a Sunday, unprompted, unscripted by us here at the M, Smurf and I included, this phone call came through.
I'd like to apologise and purge the cricket public that I did make a second ball duck. I did nick the ball to the keeper. I didn't walk. The umpire didn't give me out. It's about being true to yourself and to the cricket public, but I'd like to purge and nominate myself for the Duck Club.
There it is. That came through, and that was the bombshell that got dropped yesterday. Could have knocked us over with a feather in here. This is all from a man, of course, who those who don't know the true backstory, has likened himself to Adam Gilchrist as Australia's number one walker.
Mm.
All right.
With pride.
Always walk.
With pride.
Never, ever wait for an umpire to fire him. Would always walk. Well,
gone.
That went up in smoke when he became the centre of attention down at Morford Vale, didn't he? So I thought we'd best do tribute very much in a round of music style.
Here we go.
And just address what is being known around town as the anti-Johnny Walker, I don't walk. All right, I'm going to use Adam Levine from Maroon 5 just to set the scene. Have a listen to what he had to say.
You lied to me. You lied about a lot.
I was just trying
to... Don't worry about it. This whole thing's probably my fault anyway.
And that's how I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling like it's probably my own fault. I should have known better. I set him up. I set him down as a saviour, and he didn't deliver the goods.
Okay.
The question that everybody has asked me when they've stopped me in the streets, and I haven't been able to take six steps without being accosted and asked what the bloody hell is. How long has this been going on? I don't know.
Oh, no.
And then, obviously, this one's a real personal one because you and I are so close in here. This is, I had to get a country and western love song in.
Your cheating heart will make you weep.
Cheat on you. You're a cheat.
You'll cry and cry.
Who sings this? I'll tell you, because they made a song about you. Have a listen. You're a cheat.
You're trying hard not to show.
Listen to this. Listen to this. You'll love this.
Jazzy.
Wait for it. Walking. Walking.
You blessed it.
Walking.
Is that the Righteous Brothers? It's a great song, but geez. That's a bit harsh.
Then they go a little bit up tempo. What about this one? This is what everybody be singing around the cricket clubs tonight.
Cheat.
He does too. He likes to show off his physique. I think we need to go back with you've lost that walk and feeling to finish off.
Come on.
Jazzy. But Jazzy. Jazzy. I know. Walking.
All right.
Walking.
Shawnee.
One more.
Wait for it.
Walking.
I rest my case, Your Honour.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, it's time for our favourite Warren. Because I'm Warren. Gary
Treadray.
Oh,
yes, get stuff.
Yeah, the former Port Premiership skipper joins us. G'day, Treads.
G'day, boys. How
Champ.
Are we?
Been a while.
How good's this weather?
Been a while. Where have you been?
Well, you bounced me.
Well, what do you mean we've bounced you?
Every time we won't need you today.
You're on twice a week.
Oh, I know.
You're paid twice a week to come on our show and
I've
give
still
us content.
Got paid, but you said don't come in.
It's a touch of the Goddards.
It's
still
good.
I'm getting paid regardless.
It's a little bit of Michael Voss getting paid his money and he's sitting in another commentary box.
And it's not that we don't use the term bounce, it's bone.
Yeah. Bone. No, well, bone means you don't come back.
No, you've been
and I'm back.
Yeah, all right. Exactly. All right,
good to have you.
Back.
Funny segue, though. You want to talk about the bounce?
You know, when everyone want to whack media organisations, whether it's news, online radio stations like Triple M for creating fake news. I pose a question. Does the AFL create the greatest amount of fake news there is?
Yeah.
Because today, the beat up that we're losing the bounce, and they're saying now it's an integral part of the game. If you can't bounce, then you won't be a decent umpire. And I worry for this. There's two parts. We're going to lose good umpires. Like Razor Ray, we know, but he's still a good umpire.
We spoke about that off air, that he was cooked, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was petrified.
He's
anxiety.
Got to a stage where he's suffering anxiety and having
bounce
to be medicated.
Anxiety.
He knows that people haven't been medicated because he couldn't bounce the ball. Well, I argue that why are we even talking about this when it's been in the game for over 100 years and they were never going to take it out
so
anyway?
So you don't want it to go? You don't
no.
want it?
Yeah, but my point
I
is
want it
the AFL creates this big story because we're on the verge of the Australian summer of cricket.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never going to be a story anyway.
Mm. Well, the umpires will get their way in 2019.
Well, they need to fix the umpiring of the rules.
You're missing the point that Treads is making, and we've said it all along in here.
It's
is
fake
that
news.
AFL needs an off button, and they refuse to give anyone a chance to get the back pages. They will create anything to keep themselves front and centre so there is no gap, whether it be a week or even 3 days, Treads.
Well, even what's coming, and it's not this draft, this Saturday or whenever it is.
Friday.
Well, coincidentally, against the first test against the Poms.
Absolutely.
Right? And the other bit is, you sit there and go, all right, how do we make this better? I know for a fact they're calling players, former players of clubs, to come and present Guernseys on the AFL on draft night.
Are they really?
To read out the name of the pick. And nice to present touch. That. Yeah, but I'm not sure it's going to get up.
What about the trading of live
Well, this
picks?
Is what's ridiculous. This is now going to people who sit on a committee, who sit there and go, oh, let's make this like the NFL. I'm going to trade live picks and live players. Okay. Just say this. Adelaide, pick five. Oh, we choose John Smith, Woodville, West Torrens.
No, we're young.
Sorry, John Smith. Yeah. You're now going to Brisbane because we've traded a future pick. Da, 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 da. It's already a crap TV event.
Yeah.
It's too hard to follow. Now we're going to throw this extra complexity. That's what I think is a joke. Mid-season trade period, certainly got some legs.
Yeah,
you
I'll
lose
like
a ruckman, you
yeah,
can bring someone in.
To that.
But you watch the bad clubs or the clubs who historically don't handle it well, they're going to stuff that up. And with the live picks next year, they'll stuff that up too. And they'll still be the laughing stock of the comp.
Yeah, it just gives you more ways to mess up.
Yeah.
If you're not a good
organisation. If you're not organised.
I like it. AFLX, February here. What? Hindmarsh,
oh,
do you
wait.
Like
Can't
it?
Wait.
Oh, I want to see it first before I whack
it.
Right. But,
that's a good call.
But want to see It'll be Buddy sellout. Franklin playing. Want to see Eddie Betts playing.
Oh, you've got to get the guns playing.
Because if you don't have the 10 best players,
no point.
It's not going to work. Like, they're going
to
sell that out easily.
I'm looking forward
or
to it.
Or you want a couple of kids who are the racehorses, who have got great leg speed to be able to break it open, run and carry and bounce.
Nice.
All right. Adelaide, Hugh Greenwood finally going into surgery.
Smells like a misdiagnosis to me.
Smells a bit like the Jamie Elliott saga at Collingwood.
When people see misdiagnosis, they'll go, well, they didn't pick it. It was an Achilles injury. Like, we all thought it was a calf in the finals,
it
but it was obviously an Achilles injury, right?
Mm-hmm.
But my bit of misdiagnosis is they know that's injury, but when they say rest is going to fix it and it doesn't, you're now in a position 8 weeks later where this guy hasn't played a huge amount of footy, and that says to me his body's not quite up to standard. Yeah. Right, because he's come off basketball.
Yeah.
But now he's disrupted pre-season. So that's a massive stuff up for the medical and sports science department in Adelaide.
Yeah,
it's
so
happened at footy clubs
always,
before.
So you're slapping him.
Yep, we had a situation
at Port.
And your
club hasn't done that in the past?
I'm about to say.
Yeah.
We had a situation at Port when a player got sent for a knee clean out when they thought the cartilage wasn't bad. But that can absolutely stuff up a player's season.
So the catch is on that one is you want to steer clear of surgery.
Yeah.
You always do. And you roll the dice and you hope like hell rest fixes it. But if you don't, everybody goes behind
but
the
apple. It's also a tendon, which doesn't get great blood flow. No. He's carrying it for a period of time. Yeah. Probably had to have needles to play with.
Calf's blood. Or would have went to Germany.
Wouldn't you just go, bang, get it in, clean it up, scan it, go and have a look and fix it.
Now, you would have obviously been across Gun for Hire the weekend.
No. Yeah, I was tuning in live.
Just got to update you yesterday. A little phone call came through on the Duck Club hotline.
Mm.
And it was Jars almost in the confession box cleansing that he actually nicked that second ball down leg side and was out but didn't walk. And has always told us here on this show that he's a walker. He and Gilchrist, the only two in the country.
And I didn't walk.
Couldn't sleep and then had to confess his sins.
Walk?
Didn't want to let the fans
didn't
down.
Didn't want to let the
well,
fans
down.
Well,
you let him down, down anyway by
scoring
one.
I know.
How did you score the one? Because I got bored watching because I couldn't see it.
I got
and then I tuned in
watching.
5 minutes later, you're already gone.
It was a neat little push.
You walked
into
up,
a gap.
You put your bat in the air, you idiot. You made one.
Now.
No, that's funny, Sean.
You don't need to answer that today, but
now,
I'd like a penalty forthcoming from you. Consider yourself in the leadership group. We need to sit him down. All right, have a think about it.
Have a think about it. And just before you go, what are you doing with the Channel 9 you had?
I haven't seen it yet.
It's probably a good
No, dinner. I haven't.
What a flog.
I haven't seen it yet. I recorded it. I recorded two pieces to camera.
Well, there's a couple of tight shots.
How tight?
Tight.
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't seen it.
It's a rush hour, Jars and Louis, Triple M.
Thanks to Southern Volkswagen in Ranella. Check out the Amarok V6 Highline from 59,990 drive away. It's the rush hour, Jars and Louis on 104.7 Triple M.
Like to give second chances around here at the rush hour, so hence the fact we're doing Last Chance Duck Club, 8299-8091. Of course, yesterday's normally the D-Day. You've got a hotline to ring right across the weekend. Yesterday, you've got the 133-53 number. Today's your last chance because we know sometimes you can get caught down. You might hear a few people. You might hear a confession.
Mm.
You might feel compelled or inspired by another to actually get on. Or better still, you may have listened intently and realised a teammate didn't call in.
Mm.
So you've got a chance to call in and name and shame them, Jar.
Well, Southern Districts Cricket Club
are
becoming renowned to be the biggest duck club organisation in the country. Not just South Australia, in the country, in all their grades.
Yeah.
Their results are concerning for me. I don't know who their batting coach is down in the Southern Districts.
Yeah.
I don't know who their president is. He can't be happy with all the ducks.
I can tell you they don't have a batting coach, for starters.
Even their girls are making a lot of ducks.
Where's the El Primo on the wicket?
Well, Lou,
Where's that? Where's that care factor?
Well, I can't really talk.
No, but it's okay. Well, you're just a cheat. Don't worry about it. Not one phone call. So busy has Southern Districts been.
Yeah.
Management spoke to me and said, "Look, would you like to get a direct link line put in at Southern Districts?"
Yeah.
So there's no cost to anyone involved and they can just come through any time on the show. I tell you what, some people have done the right thing.
Yeah.
Some people have called the hotline 8299-8091. Put it in your phone right now. Yeah. Do a little photocopy, a little prezzo on your computer.
Mm.
Pop it up at the cricket club in the sheds.
Yeah.
As soon as you get out, call it. Or once you buy that first round, when you come back, pop them down, grab the phone, get a few boys in on it, put it on speaker. Yeah.
Or can we get some stickers made up of their number and you put it on the back of your bat when you're walking off?
Oh, that's good.
You know what we need? Not even on the back of your bat. I think every duck you get a little yellow quacker duck goes on the bat. Yeah. So the opposition know what kind of run you're on. So if you play for Southern Districts, the back of your bat's covered.
Yeah. So there could be nine little ducks on the back of your bat.
It's very Top Gun-ish and it's all about kills on the side, but it's the other way around.
Like it.
That way you can be identified and you should be shamed wherever you walk.
Yeah.
I mean, only every now and then do you get a cracking nut.
No.
And get yourself
and
a
that's seed what I got on Saturday.
That gets you out. Cracking nut. Something that hoops and turns in, even though it wasn't a pink ball. I mean, every now and then you get that, but the majority of ducks come from a lack of care factor.
Right.
That'd be fair to
say. Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. Some of the messages that have been coming through on the hotline, here they are.
Matt Knight, South Gawler Cricket Club. Two golden ducks over 2 days. The first one was just a little beautiful little snick to the keeper that I thought the umpire might not have heard, as he's old and sometimes I still have his hearing aids on. And the second one was a T20 trying to put the ball 30 metres over the fence.
The name is Tyson James. I play for Mount Torrens. Got bowled second ball by a ball that went dead straight. Played all around it. Dobbing myself in. Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah, g'day. Cookie here. Just want to dob in Andy Shortman Wright and Benny McDonald from the Freeling A4s over the weekend just gone. Both of them got two big old crackers. Cheers, boy.
Jeez, Andy's
Andy
wackies.
Wright, Ben McDonald. Yeah. They didn't call. Matt Knight, Tyson Jones.
Yeah.
Was it Jones or James?
Tyson James.
James.
Yeah.
They dobbed themselves. Well played, boys. Very nicely
proud
done.
Of you.
But for Andy Wright, Ben McDonald, and the Freeling Fours, that is just pathetic.
Freeling A4s.
That is pathetic, Joe. And that's what you do. You bring up your name and shame those guys. Now their phones will be running hot.
Yeah.
All right. And they'll be getting question marks.
Correct.
Not only will it be sleepless nights until selection on Thursday,
Spot on.
Maybe just a real hostile session from the bowling cartel.
I like it.
You know?
Yeah, I like it.
Maybe that's where Gun for Hire comes in. He does his best work in the nets.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M. Thanks to Southern Volkswagen in Renella. It's the Rush Hour. Charles and Louis, 104.7 Triple M.
Special K, Usman Khawaja, just after 5 o'clock. Of course, back in the Australian side for the Ashes. Batting at 3. Can't wait to talk to Uzi. He's a good friend of ours of the show.
He's the third best batsman in Australia for the last 2 years and still couldn't get a tour.
I know. Unbelievable.
But anyway, he's back, Lou, so look forward to his
chat.
And
we'll be talking to him very soon. Hey, just had a really random idea. I was talking to you guys in the break. Want to put it out to the family. How bikies get a bit of a bad rap about having short tempers and short fuses. What about bikie yoga? Now, hear me out, because sometimes you got to step foot out of the compound. You got to earth yourself and maybe take a break out from it all. And they could do it on their bikes. So instead of doing the it's the rev of the engine.
So they still stay in their leathers. So,
yeah, and that would be relaxing. Oh, no, you wouldn't have to have leathers on.
Would they go in Lululemon outfit?
I'm pretty sure they wouldn't have a leotard on. But they could be sitting stride across the hog, right?
Yeah.
And then a little lean to the side, a little stretch through the groin.
That way, yep.
Then back to the other way, side.
Yep. And lean back in
and
the
then,
seat.
Then put it on the stand, do a handstand on the seat. Do a bit of stuff.
Where do they do down dog?
Downward dog.
Yeah, that'll be. Where would they do that on the bike?
Oh, that's probably not doing.
No, I'm just thinking that because I'm a yoga. You and I have done yoga.
You could do it, but I mean, last thing you'd want to do is tip your hog over and ding it.
Okay, there's something to think about.
All right, maybe I'll set a bit of work with it. Okay. I'm just looking for.
No, I know you're always sniffing things out.
That mental release, and we all need it. And it doesn't matter what you do, it's stressful.
Now, this mental release is coming up very shortly. Just after 5. What is it?
Nicely done. Tell you what. Everybody available too on this one. Are you just sniffing and just giving yourself a little, I'm going all right? Is that what that was?
Because I went to Sean Craig Murphy's.
Yeah.
AustralianRadioSchool.com.
Where they don't teach that.
No.
All right.
Special one today because it's...
You're alluding to the fact it's 2K yes. Tuesday. And what I want to throw straight back at you, how is that the first time we've mentioned that?
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
You know, we've got bloody producers doing stuff all around here.
Oh, look at
you're spot on, Lou.
I look at this. I look at this operation that we run and we preach, and the family know it, we preach elite standards and we're all this about everything else. But
sorry, family.
Do you think we could get on the same page early on,
spot on
and just remind the family, not only is it 2K Tuesday, there's a carryover of the Automasters Lifeline. So there's two Automasters Lifeline. Now, if that's not a selling point in radio land, hello, nothing is.
Well done.
2K Tuesday, the number is 133353. Call now. Might even give you an extra Automasters if you're good.
No. No.
Great to have your company, family. Big second hour still to come here on the Rush Hour. Juice and I here. We're going to talk to a very inspiring young man who lost his leg and has turned that bad luck into some real good piece of fortune. He's trying it and very close to making the Australian team when it comes to rowing
Paralympians. Yeah, so well done. Look forward to this chat.
Young Jeb, we're going to talk to him after 5:30.
Nice.
Defectors update. Oh, gee, what does that mean? That could only mean Charlie Cameron, I would have think, saying that. Probably
what's
not.
Charlie said?
Oh, well, it's not
is
just...
Has he clipped anyone? Or
yeah,
he
not
just
family reasons. Maybe it was because there was too much footy here in town. That'd be funny.
Just save it.
Just off the top, I would have thought the young man's a bit of a mute. I never heard from him in his 3 years in town. Can't believe people were stopping him in the streets and just he couldn't get away from footy.
We'll talk more about that.
Did he do any media anywhere?
He did a little bit.
Did he? Geez, not on this show. Tell you what. Now, I love this one. Sports cheating scandals.
No, I didn't see it. He put that on the whiteboard.
I don't know. It's up there. I'll have to look what that means. And Usman Khawaja not far away, obviously ahead of the first Ashes test. But speaking of defectors, Jake Lever spoke for the first time since returning to Melbourne to play for the Melbourne Football Club and discussed the topic of the so-called run-in with Big Tex.
He was disappointed, as he should be, and he's a captain of the club. He probably doesn't want people leaving his football club. And he's a passionate person, passionate player. I'm sure if I catch up with him in the future, there's not going to be too much problems.
And even went on to say, look, there'll be a little bit of a knuckle when they play each other.
Because Jakey can handle himself
with
the old glove.
You expect nothing less from some of your mates that you spent some time.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, all very nicely done.
Well done.
Special edition of this coming up right now.
The Rush Hour's quiz with No Name. Yeah! Thanks to Automasters.
Your drive home isn't always smooth, but make sure your car runs smoothly. Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS.
Give me money, give me money, give me money, give me money, give me money.
Stop press. It's 2K Tuesday.
Yeah, it certainly is. $2,000 up for grabs, Charles. It's just because it's Tuesday. Yeah. It sounds good and it makes sense. 2K Tuesday. Yeah. All right, I choose Tuesday. All right. Nice. Who's playing today? 10 questions because there is a carryover Automasters Lifeline. So two Automasters Lifeline. With some Sean Craig Murphy. Correct. Just clenching a little tighter over there on the other side of the desk.
Daniel of Parkholm joins us. G'day, Daniel, son.
G'day, how are you, boys?
Very good, Danny boy.
Hello.
Two Automasters Lifelines up your sleeve, my friend, on 2K Tuesday. This is just the one you need to win, good sir.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I already got it.
I
like it.
We got a swagger.
Love a bit of swag.
We got a swagger.
History tells me it could be short.
Yeah.
But good luck to you, Danny. All right, two Automasters Lifelines. Time will start at the end of the first question. You've got 60 seconds to get through the 10 questions. Good luck.
Yep, let's do it.
Name one of the two countries playing in the Davis Cup final.
Automasters.
Which Aussie tennis player has the nickname Cocky?
It's Nasty Cock Narcus.
What sport does Jane Claxton play?
Automasters.
What team sport do the Townsville Fire play?
Automasters.
No.
Yeah, well, hang on.
Pass.
Jeez. All right, mate. What day this week does the men's test match start, Daniel?
Thursday.
Who are Adelaide United playing in tonight's FFA?
Sydney FC.
How many points did the 36ers win by on the weekend?
11.
How many runs did Jars make for Morphett Vale?
One.
Okay, which country defeated New Zealand in the Rugby League World Cup on Saturday night?
Fiji.
Name two members of the Triple M cricket commentary team.
What's that fat bloke? Mick Malloy.
Yep.
And Kerry O'Keefe.
And what team sport does Townsville Fire play?
Basketball.
Well, he said, okay.
I'll allow it because the question was out. It's gonna be tight. Daniel from Parkham. Very confident.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Correct.
Oh, Danny boy.
You sure it was? I thought it was 80. Number four. Hang on. Number four. He said basketball.
It was a 36 one.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he said basketball. Should have said women's basketball.
Daniel's right. What are you getting hung up on
over
there?
It's all good. It's all good,
yeah,
Daniel.
Yeah, it is. 36 is this your issue, Daniel's son. You went with 11 points. It was 15.
No, I had no chance, man.
That's all right, though. What I did like was the cheeky, very...
Tried to get another one.
Often never tried. Third Automasters that he really tried to roll out awfully quickly.
No, very good.
Belgium or France, you need it for the Davis Cup, my friend. And Jane Claxton, had you been listening yesterday? These were the same questions that we backed out of after three. Hockey, she plays.
Yeah. So $90. Well done, Daniel.
Mate. Yeah. Oh, other than that, very confident we played quiz, mate. Well done.
Cheers, boys. Thanks.
Loving your work. $90 going Daniel's way. All right. Up next. Let's get serious, Murph. You get the credit away.
Oh, have you had your brakes checked recently? Call 1-300 Automasters. Credit done.
Tell you what. Daniel's son. There's no brakes in that. That wheel's he's driving.
No, not at all.
Do you like that?
He did just say basketball. He didn't say women's basketball.
Hang up, mate. It's $10. Jeez, it's not your own money. It's Murph's.
What?
Usman Khawaja.
On the Rush Hour with Charles and Louis on Triple M. Thanks to Southern Volkswagen in Ranella.
I don't know what's going on here.
With the Rush Hour, Charles and Louis, 104.7 Triple M.
Righto, Charles. Triple M rocks the Ashes, 10:30 Thursday. It means you and I have to make way for this man. And let's hope he gets amongst the runs. He's been in real good touch in Shield cricket. He's been out of favour in the Asia Test.
Bloody disgrace, Luke.
We're talking of our man, Usman Khawaja. Uzi, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good Uzi? To see you back. Was there some kid in junior cricket that was able to spin it that bamboozled you, that did your head in re-spin, and that's why they don't pick you playing against spinners anymore?
With a tennis ball.
And do we need to go and face that demon?
Yeah. usually in the backyard is the toughest because you've got the weeds growing out. And you got It's kind of like the pitches you play in India, actually. So, yeah, you're probably right.
Did you get a ripper as a kid like Mike Gatting got from Warney and it's just scarred you?
Nah, not really, boys. I think it's disappointing, but we're back in home summer now, so I'm just looking forward to playing some cricket.
Uzi, your domestic form and your good record at home, you must be excited about being back in the Australian side, and you're no doubt bat at number three against the Poms because this is the test match that every young Australian boy dreams of to play against these bloody Poms.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited. Ashes, test match cricket, first game at the Gabba at home for me now, so it's very exciting. And I haven't played a Gabba test match, Ashes test match yet, so I'm looking forward to it.
The selectors... Did the lucky dip when it came to a few boys getting a game, mate. Obviously, everybody's had time to process it. It's the reasonings are there, but did it catch you guys at your level off guard a little bit, especially maybe Tim Payne?
No one really knew what was going on in terms of there could have been many players and they could have selected them for that opening spot. I thought Renners was going to be in there, obviously wasn't. And then with number six and the keeper, no one really knew what was going on, but the guys are coming in a pretty good players. I mean, they're quality players, so I'm sure they'll do really well when they get the opportunity. There's a lot of depth in Australian cricket. People talk about Australian cricket not having depth, but there's plenty of depth and there's plenty of good players. So whoever is going to take over, whoever is going to come in, they're always going to be really good players.
Well, it's given our pace attack, Brisbane is shaping up as a good toss to lose. Would that be fair?
Why do you say that?
Well, we've got a great pace attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we lose the toss, I reckon that's good for us as well.
Depends what they do. If we lose the toss and they do what we want to do, then it's not good, is it?
He's got you there, Jess. That's a good point. Tell you what.
Actually, he got me around the pads.
Yeah, well, Jars just got out for one on the weekend. Uzi, allow me to bring this up to you, Uzi.
Uzi don't want to hear this.
Uzi, Jars is a bit like Adam Gilchrist, has always told everybody who would listen that he walks. He never waits for an umpire to fire him out.
Yep.
All right?
Yep.
On the weekend, we sold him out as a gun for hire to a local cricket club that was struggling a little bit. He was going to go down there, be their saviour. Second ball, little tickle down leg side. Boys appealed massively.
Yeah.
Umpire didn't give him out. He refused to walk.
I didn't walk, Uz.
Oh, no.
Two balls later, goes with the windmill shot, and the leg stump has departed. Now, he walks off to a rousing reception of boos.
Yeah.
And then, 2 days later, on our open line, which is the Duck Club hotline here at the Rush Hour, which you can call in when you make a duck to purge, He rings in and admits that he tickled the one down leg side.
Oh, no.
I couldn't sleep. I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. Was...
You know, once you don't walk once, you're not a walker anymore. That's it. It's over. Once you do it once, it's over. You lose the tag.
Yeah. So Uzi, is it fair to say no Johnny Walker sponsorships?
Probably not for him. No, not now. Maybe last week.
Yeah, now you're done. Jeez. Oh, jeez. Hey, Uzi, what does it mean to play in an Ashes series again against England? Like Jars touched on earlier, we all dreamt of it as kids. You're good enough. You're going to be a part of it right in the mix. What are the feelings like? What is the adrenaline going to be like when that first test comes around and even our second test and the third, just to take on the English in the Ashes?
I think there's always a little bit extra riding on it because of the Ashes. Everyone's talking about it. The boys, obviously everyone will be very excited, very anxious to just get out there and play. But at the end of the day, it's still another game of cricket. You're going out and playing cricket. There's a bat, there's a ball. Everything else is the same. It's just more people watching. So I think everyone's going to find out a way to sort of drown that out and then just play the game. And as we were the tide that's playing it better.
Everyone's saying the Aussies will win this series 5-0 and will do it easy. I'm not convinced. I think the Poms, they got some quality bowling. Obviously, Root and Cook are their main batsmen there. So it's going to be a tough test series, isn't it?
Absolutely. There's no easy test matches. I definitely don't think it's going to be a 5-0. I think it's, you know, they're going to put up some good challenges up ahead of us. And, you know, if we play really well every day, day in, day out, then maybe things will fall into our favour. But, you know, it's test cricket and you can lapse literally one session and the test match can go away from you. So I never like to get ahead of myself, and I'm sure all the other boys are the same.
Hey, I'm loving the fact that I'm healing the fast bowling cartel. Were sat down by Brad Haddin and co to have a look at Mitch Johnson destroying the Poms in 2013-14 where he just tormented them. That would have been great viewing.
I'm sure it'd be on YouTube somewhere. Yeah. I would have liked to come to that meeting. I didn't get invited to the fast bowling meeting. So.
Not part of the cartel?
No, I'm not a part. My little off spinners, though. Yeah. Best economy world cricket, though, I think. I think I went like one run from my first over and only over, so beat that.
Very nice. The Reverend, the Bull, did he hurt himself at training the other day? They're reporting that he may have hurt his neck. Is he okay?
He tweaked his neck a little bit today. He'll be fine.
Yeah, you can go home and watch his OLED TV. He'll be right. Tell him to sit dead in front of it. It's that bloody big, Dave. What are you looking over your shoulder for?
Life's good, eh?
It is. Well done. Nice, mate. Hey, Uzi, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking some time out ahead of the first Ashes test. We wish you all the best of luck, mate. We love you dearly.
All the best, mate.
Thanks a lot, boys. Appreciate it.
There is Usman Khawaja, the number 3 for the Australian test team. And, of course, Triple M rocks the Ashes 10:30 on Thursday. It's Jars and Louis. Rush out.
What are you doing now?
Just for the 5 o'clockers, for those who missed it, Jars called through yesterday. It was around about this time, actually, where he purged and admitted, Murph, that may have been out before the big swashbuckling one came to a conclusion for Morfitt Vale. Here's part of that phone call.
I'd like to apologise and purge the cricket public that I did make a second ball duck. I did nick the ball to the keeper. I didn't walk. The umpire didn't give me out. It's about being true to yourself and to the cricket public. Okay. But I'd like to purge and nominate myself for the Duck Club.
And we congratulate you on that.
You've been calling me a cheat the last 2 days.
Hear me out. That act right there, very good. But it doesn't sort of let you off the hook of what you did.
Do you know, I had the best sleep last night. I even had a nude shower today at the back of my yard.
This is not about you, this segment.
No, but I'm just telling you.
I know. If you were feeling good about yourself, kid off out the back, well played. Right. But the catch is you've called yourself all these years a walker. And I would assume that your word is your bond.
Spot on.
All right.
Absolutely.
But right now, I don't know where I'm at with you, because once you do that and you sort of tell a little white lie, we all know, manifests itself and it moves on. We try and, you know, you're a role model to kids. And we tell our kids, tell the truth and you can't get in as much trouble as you would if you didn't tell the truth. But you still get punished.
I tell my kids that.
Yeah, but you still get punished. You think you're out free. So what I did today, Murph, did a bit of homework.
Of course you did.
Well, I wanted to know who were other great cheats in the sporting landscape. And because what I'm feeling right now, I'm 133353 family, get involved. I'm feeling a new nickname.
Is Drago from Rocky a cheat?
Yeah, well, it wasn't his fault. It was the Russian government.
He knew!
But you saw at the end. He didn't want to be like that.
What about the Essendon Football Club players?
They didn't know. The motto was whatever it takes. Came up with it, not them. All right, so I think we need a new nickname for the Juice. I'm not going to say I'm going to change it, but I need another one to add to the CV.
Another one.
Well, you know, classic stuff. What I mean, is it Barry, as in Barry Bonds? you know, hitting home runs, juiced up. Should you be known as Marion like your wife, as in Marion Jones?
She was my favourite runner back in the day.
I mean, Lance, you like the bike
don't
Armstrong.
Call me Lancey.
Should I call you Ben, as in Ben Johnson? All right. Or is it just Diego, like the hand of God?
Oh.
Do we need to go with Hansi Cronje? Trying to fix games of cricket. There's just a lot of
stuff. Perished.
For those who don't know, there was a lot of talk that Fudd was who was in the outer at the time.
Fudd was there.
May have had a two-way sort of interrupted our communique and said, "I've got a point spread on you and you need to make at least one." And
he wasn't happy. The reason. He gave me a clip.
Are you up there? Should you be known as the Spanish basketball team from the 2000 Special Olympics?
What'd they do?
Who only had two players with actual mental disabilities. The rest were normal.
Oh,
and they pretended to be disabled and play and won the gold medal.
No.
Is it that kind of dog
act? No, it's not. Right. No, I don't go that low.
My favourite, though, what I'm thinking right now, and it's very much up the jar's
alley. Family's waiting.
It is. Rosie. I want to call you Rosie. As in Rosie Ruiz. Now, for those who don't know who Rosie is. Rosie won the Boston Marathon in 2.5 hours, right? Which was a real hot time in the world for women at that point in time.
Rosie.
Rosie Ruiz.
Ruiz.
The only catch was she disappeared into the crowd and showed up. Back on course with a half a mile to go. Now, it gets better, Murph, because we've got old Rosie Jarman over here. The only reason she qualified for Boston was in the New York Marathon.
Yeah.
She did the same thing but caught the subway. So I think I'm going to run with Rosie Jarman. You out and out cheat.
What if I do the city to Bay? I could just catch the track.
Well, like someone said yesterday with a tweet, Jep's Cross Watchtower, what's worse, not walking or DUI? We're going to talk about defectors. I really don't want to. I just want to say this. Charlie Cameron has come out and said his reason to go home was more than being homesick.
Hey, it's just footy. Just coming back here, it's just no footy, no talk, anything. So you can get away, enjoy yourself, so you don't have to think about footy too much. And if you think about it too much, it plays with your head. And I guess I had that a little bit in Adelaide, but a bit of a change. So I'm going to enjoy it.
No footy, no talk. You know why,
Charlie?
Because the side's no bloody good.
It's all
up there.
Oh no, not at all.
Honestly.
Are you disappointed?
I'm really flat with that.
He left Adelaide because the scrutiny. The scrutiny in South Australia.
What scrutiny?
Well, I agree. It's a passionate football state. We love our football.
He is so lucky he has played inside a team of stars far ahead of him. He could have easily... You watch him. You want to know what scrutiny is? Even though he's living in a non-footballing town, what's the scrutiny come if he's not delivering the goods in the first 4 or 5 weeks?
There you go.
With what they've coughed
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely.
And you watch the scrutiny that the Melbourne media put on him as a guy that's supposed to go up there and play more footy. He's put himself in a more...
Yeah, he has.
In the biggest visible spotlight than he's ever been in.
Totally agree.
But the one is, don't be crying homesickness throughout the trade period. And then the first interview you do in 6 years... he's come out and I go, I didn't like the spotlight.
Well,
you don't have to do it.
Nah.
And you play your footy. No one. I'm pretty sure he wasn't getting accosted and papped like the great Juice does.
Riding
around in the back of boots.
You hate it when players go back and they use that homesickness excuse you got here, what?
End of
04. You went to Sydney to Adelaide.
Yeah. So, like, I don't get it. It's a national game.
It is, Luke.
And if you don't want the scrutiny, well, guess what?
Don't play the game.
Don't play it.
Don't play the game, Charlie. You go back to rugby.
You know, have fun playing in front of your 12,000.
Yeah.
You know,
getting your pay packet.
Yeah, don't get worried about the electricity that's coming from the crowd.
Did you have anyone else in the gun?
Did
defectors?
No, I still had a couple of cheats.
Oh, no, you used that, buddy. Come on, let's go.
Righto, Jars, I've got a special guest for you. I ran into this man in JR's surf shop the other day and we had a quick little chat.
Yep.
He's different to you and I because he's got a bigger heart. I know that's a big call by me. It's a massive call because one of your nicknames is Farlap.
Oh, no.
But Jed's doing wonderful things after a tragic work accident, which I'll let him explain.
Yep.
Please welcome Jed Altswagger to the show. Welcome, mate.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Mate.
The difference between all of us in here is you and I have got two legs and Jed's only got one.
Yep.
Isn't that right, mate?
That's exactly right, yep.
So can you tell us a little bit about this? Because instead of sitting around and feeling sorry for yourself, you've decided that you wouldn't mind being an athlete representing your country.
Yeah, spot on, mate. I guess the journey started
a little over 2 years ago. Like you said, it was a workplace accident up there at Blackwood. And yeah, I guess to cut an extremely long story short, it was, quite an abrupt accident. It all went down. And I guess a coping mechanism for me that I kind of used was to look for the opportunities.
So how quick was that? Because obviously... Family and your partner, everyone gets called to hospital. The decision is made that we've got to take the leg off.
Yeah. For me, I was basically under the excavator for about 20 minutes in an ambulance to Flinders. They tried to put it all back together, basically. They were like, look, let's have a look at it, see if we can get it going again.
Yep.
And then I had the vascular surgeon sort of come over, and that's when I had, by that time, I had my wife and I had a good mate of mine and my mother-in-law there. And that was, I guess, when it was really hitting home, when he's looked over and had his face over me and he goes, look, mate, there's a chance you're going to lose your leg. So I guess at that point got quite emotional. And then later that night at about 6 o'clock, I went into surgery. From there, they still were going to put it back together and they were going to have a crack. And they were saying, look, there's a high chance you may lose it. Can you sign this document? So all that. My wife had to be called and notified if it was going to get taken. That all sort of happened, and then I came out at about 10 o'clock that night. Yeah, that was sort of the start of it. It was almost, I could see the two different directions, a positive and a negative. I really could. I was laying in my bed there, and I had my wife on me at one stage, and I was telling her this, and I just thought, I mean, you know, I don't want to go down that negative path. Let's go down this positive route.
Yeah. So the rowing side of it, I'm tipping you weren't just out there with the wife, just having a little casual paddle on Torrens with a little bit of, love is in the air happenings.
And there's a bloke in Melbourne, Tim Matthews, who represented Australia as a runner in the 2012 Paralympics. One of his roles for the Paralympic Committee is to scout. And then, got a call early this year. I was in some sort of good nick.
So what were you doing to get on that radar? Is that just feedback from your rehab side of things and the people you're working with?
For me, it was more, as weird as this world is nowadays with social media. Yeah, he sort of was just like, look, mate, you're looking like you're in good nick. How old are you? We spent a bit of time talking on the phone. And he's like, would you be interested in a Paralympic sport? And I had been thinking about it a couple of months prior when me and my missus and my little fella up down the East Coast. From there, I was like, I'd love to. I like the water. So, let's look at kayak or rowing.
Obviously, you're passionate about it. You're looking at the 2020 Tokyo Paralympics. So how much training are you doing? How much hours are you committed to this getting to the Tokyo?
Tokyo, basically, it'd be close, sort of 35 to 40 hours a week training. So, as you guys probably know, I found it out very, very quick. It's an endurance sport, and you just got to do volume. You got to do plenty of it. You've got to work on strength as well, but you've got to do plenty of it. So there's no sort of getting away with it.
Obviously, I saw you at the surf shop.
Yep.
You got to work so hard at this, and this is the great unknown from a footballing background, where you get gifted just about everything. Whereas athletes of the Olympic caliber have got to log so many more hours, in theory, solo hours, for little return at the time. So how are you supporting yourself through all this?
Yeah, well, I guess there's one silver lining to my accident happening at work. Work cover here in Australia is quite good. I guess the main thing I've been looking for in the last couple of months is just a little bit of, I guess, training offset. I just don't, and that's becoming quite more prevalent. We've got nationals next year, state champs, all that sort of stuff. I'm going to be traveling. So just to sort of take the pressure off that is kind of where I'm at, and that's what I'm sort of doing. A few bits and pieces around the place.
And do you still have any bad days?
To be honest.
Let me ask you again. What gives you the shits the most? When it comes to the leg, as you go, beautiful little one, lovely wife. Do you ever just get a case of, this is something that sets you off?
Yeah, so I guess if you look at me on a day-to-day basis and you look at my Instagram, you look at my Facebook, whatever, you might think, oh, he's absolutely killing it. He's doing really well. And that's the case with a lot of that things. You see the good of everything and you rarely see the dark side. I guess with me, I still, it's not like that. I still get skin irritations and there's stuff like that. So when my leg plays up and I'm unable to use my leg, that's the time where you go, okay, here we go again. Early days, those times are really hard, but I have learned, that's going to happen. Management, get through it. And I'd cope with it like that. But that's kind of, that pops up now and then.
And what does the little bloke think of it all?
Oh, he's won
14 months old, so he is just all smiles pretty much and just amazing. He's been a bundle of joy. So, I mean, if you can imagine within the 2 years, I lost my leg. You know, we've had a little baby. I'm having a real pointy-head crack at making the passion.
Geez, you like roller coasters, don't you?
I do. It's been a ride, I'll tell you.
So is that the motivation with this here that you're going, like, I've had this bad thing happen and I just want to have a crack at something.
Mm, yeah, spot on. That's where a lot of the motivation is. It's like I was saying before, it's bigger than just me. It's what's hanging off my left leg. Mm. It's all the stuff I've been through. And it's almost a little check going, hang on, you got this. You're fitter than you were before, Jen. You know what I mean? Mm. Continuously, even that's maybe a little selfish, but that still ticks in the back of my head, and that's a motivator. It's just like, you're fitter than you were before. Let's do it. Like,
well, mate, if we can help out in any way, shape, or form, we'd love to help you out. As I said, chance meeting with you in town one day.
Appreciate it, mate.
And it's great for you to share your story, mate. I'm glad we can share it with our family.
Yeah, appreciate it, boys. Thanks for having me in. I'll keep you posted on the on the journey.
We'll link, so link where do I link in, Lou?
Yeah.
If I want to keep an eye on Jed.
Well, Jed, mate.
Where is it, Jed? Yeah, where do I go?
At New Boots Old Jeans.
Yeah, New Boot Old Jeans is my Instagram.
Get it? You get it?
I like it.
You can still have a laugh about it. No, good. And we'll follow you very closely, mate. And let's hope that 2020... We're doing the show in Tokyo.
Bloody hell.
Jeez, we've got Russia in our Tokyo.
Yeah, I know. We're going to be busy, Charles. Thank you very much for coming in, mate.
Thanks, boys. Cheers.
Another one down, Juice.
Well done. Yeah, some funny names here, Lou. Well done. Well played. You've had a good day today.
Great to chat to Jed, too. Outstanding young man.
What a magnificent young man. And we wish him all the best, and we'll try and help him out.
Yeah, we're going to follow him closely. If you want to get involved and help out, we can certainly put you in touch. Well done. Really good cause and a great comeback by that young man. Usman Khawaja was great. Get on the podcast, triplem.com.au. Tomorrow on the show. Well, it's draft day on Friday. Let's touch base with the man who knows it all, David King from Fox.
Good.
Catch up with Kingy. Nice. Just to get an insight into a top 10, top 20 type and who Adelaide might be looking at and
Pick
Port
12.
Adelaide might be looking at as well.
Good, Luke.
All right. Other than that,
good stuff.
You go home.
I'm going to go in the pool.
What's that old saying, Murph?
What is the old saying, Lulu?
Something about the clear conscience sleeps light on the pillow or something like that. You know all that.
I will sleep like a baby tonight, honestly. I'm
tell you what,
though,
but if you've got a drone in the Henley Beach area, just get it operational tomorrow morning for me. Maybe get some footage of the outdoor shower.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah. I did today. Loved it.
Yeah, well, I
loved it, Luke.
You need to be aware of that. Modern technology catch you out.
That worries me. What do you got tonight, champ?
Radio school tonight, sorry, AustralianRadioStudentsRadioschool.com. Sorry, I
stuffed that up.
Jeez, we walked into that, didn't we? I'll tell you what, Murph, what's that address for our invoice?
It's care of AustralianRadioschool.com.
Would you like us to write some kind of forward into the syllabus, you know, about it? Because we promote it so often.
Sheepers.
No, I'll be right.
Well, good luck tonight, then.
Hey, everybody, see you, family. Any advice for pets and elderly?
Just keep them inside and turn the air conditioner up high.
Hydrate
them. All right, and don't turn it off. Leave it on all night.
Says Jay Weatherall. No.
See you, family.
I tell you what, Elon Musk, where's my bloody battery pack?